Today is the 14th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Grateful to be here with you today. Very grateful. Thank you for being here. Glad that I can be here. Glad that we can continue forward as we push toward the end of our week. And that we push forward in the book that we are in right now, the book of Nehemiah, which has so much there for us. So let's jump in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 through 9, verse 21 today. All the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. To his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. To his left stood Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashabadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. When they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, "Amen, Amen," as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Beliah, then instructed the people in the law, while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law of God, and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people to understand each passage. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, "Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day." So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food, and to celebrate with great joy because they had heard God's words and understood them. On October 9th, the family leaders of all the people, together with the priests and Levites, met with Ezra the scribe to go over the law in greater detail. As they studied the law, they discovered that the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites should live in shelters during the festival to be held that month. He had said that a proclamation should be made throughout their towns and in Jerusalem, telling the people to go to the hills to get branches from olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees. They were to use these branches to make shelters in which they would live during the festival, as prescribed in the law. So the people went out and cut branches and used them to build shelters on the roofs of their houses, in their courtyards, in the courtyards of God's temple, are in the squares just inside the water gate and the Ephraim gate. So everyone who had returned from captivity lived in these shelters during the festival, and they were all filled with great joy. The Israelites had not celebrated like this since the days of Joshua, son of Nun. Ezra read from the book of the law of God on each of the 7 days of the festival. Then on the 8th day, they held a solemn assembly as was required by law. On October 31st, The people assembled again, and this time they fasted and dressed in burlap and sprinkled dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent separated themselves from all foreigners as they confessed their own sins and the sins of their ancestors. They remained standing in place for 3 hours, while the book of the law of the Lord their God was read aloud to them. Then for 3 more hours they confessed their sins and worshipped the Lord their God. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shabaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Kenani, stood on the stairway of the Levites and cried out to the Lord their God with loud voices. Then the leaders of the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shabaniah, and Petahiah, called out to the people, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God, for he lives from everlasting to everlasting." Then they prayed, "May your glorious name be praised. May it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve them all, and the angels of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him from Ur of the Chaldeans and renamed him Abraham. When he had proved himself faithful, you made a covenant with him to give him and his descendants the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and Girgashites. And you have done what you promised, for you are always true to your word. You saw the misery of our ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cries from beside the Red Sea. You displayed miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, his officials, and all his people, for you knew how arrogantly they were treating our ancestors. You have a glorious reputation that has never been forgotten. You divided the sea for your people so they could walk through on dry land, and then you hurled their enemies into the depths of the sea. They sank like stones beneath the mighty waters. You led our ancestors by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, so that they could find their way. You came down at Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and instructions that were just, and decrees and commands that were good. You instructed them concerning your holy Sabbath, and you commanded them through Moses your servant to obey all your commands, decrees, and instructions. You gave them bread from heaven when they were hungry, and water from the rock when they were thirsty. You commanded them to go and take possession of the land you had sworn to give them. But our ancestors were proud and stubborn, and they paid no attention to your commands. They refused to obey and did not remember the miracles you had done for them. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry and rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon them, even when they made an idol shaped like a calf and said, 'This is your God who brought you out of Egypt.' They committed terrible blasphemies. But in your great mercy, you did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell." First Corinthians 9:1-18. "Am I not as free as anyone else? Am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus our Lord with my own eyes? Isn't it because of my work that you belong to the Lord? Even if others think I am not an apostle, I certainly am to you. You yourselves are proof that I am the Lord's apostle. This is my answer to those who question my authority. Don't we have the right to live in your homes and share your meals? Don't we have the right to bring a believing wife with us, as the other apostles and the Lord's brothers do, and as Peter does? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have to work to support ourselves? What soldier has to pay his own expenses? What farmer plants a vineyard and doesn't have the right to eat some of its fruit? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? Am I expressing merely a human opinion? Or does the law say the same thing? For the law of Moses says, "You must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain." Was God thinking only about oxen when he said this? Wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes, it was written for us, so that the one who plows and the one who threshes the grain might both expect a share of the harvest. Since we have planted spiritual seed among you, aren't we entitled to a harvest of physical food and drink? If you support others who preach to you, shouldn't we have an even greater right to be supported? But we have never used this right. We would rather put up with anything than be an obstacle to the good news about Christ. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple, and those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Yet I have never used any of these rights, and I am not writing this to suggest that I want to start now. In fact, I would rather die than lose my right to boast about preaching without charge. Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I don't preach the good news. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice, for God has given me this sacred trust. What then is my pay? It is the opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone. That's why I never demand my rights when I preach the good news. Psalm 33, 12 through 22. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne he observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do. The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Proverbs 21, 11 and 12. If you punish a mocker, the simple-minded become wise. If you instruct the wise, they will be all the wiser. The righteous one knows what is going on in the homes of the wicked. He will bring disaster on them. All right, so yesterday, the book of Nehemiah, we saw that the wall was completed. The wall surrounding Jerusalem, the temple of God, was protected. And so Nehemiah, during this process, obtained the genealogical records of everyone who had returned from exile in the first place, and he called everyone to an assembly before God. And then in today's reading, the law was read in everybody's hearing, while many of the Levites stood out among the people to explain it. And while studying, the people realized that they were to celebrate the festival of booths, Sukkot, to commemorate their liberation from slavery in Egypt and to reaffirm their covenant and their complete dependence on God. So for the next week, the people observed this festival all around, even at the temple. And this led to their full-hearted reaffirmation of their faithfulness to God, their confession of sin before God. And that's what we began today and will conclude tomorrow. Then in 1 Corinthians, Paul is, in this letter, defending himself against things that he's heard that were essentially claiming that Paul was exploiting people for his own advantage. There are definitely some parallels there in Nehemiah. And Paul's just asking, how are we exploiting anybody? We're not even, don't we have the right to even get paid for the work that we do? We're not even doing that. So everybody else, all the other apostles, everybody else does all of that. How are we exploiting? And so Paul says, basically that his pay is the opportunity to do what he's been called to do without charge. There are many assumptions about leaders, whether they be spiritual or political or creative leaders, influencers. This is commonplace in our society, but this is not a new invention at all. There's so many different examples in the Bible of this. Joseph, right, faced these false assumptions. Moses did. A lot of David's Psalms are written because of false assumptions. The story of Saul and David, all kinds of paranoia and false assumptions. This happened to the prophets all the time. Jesus faced false assumptions. And here the Apostle Paul is dealing with them. So this is all throughout the Bible. In reality, we'll invent things about people that we have never met. And we only know through a brief encounter or something that like a clip that we're scrolling through. And these assumptions are often so wrong and very devastating. I mean, think about what it would be like to have your whole life assumed through a fragment of a conversation that you had that was taken out of context, filled from a different season of your life that doesn't represent who you are now. That would be an incomplete thing at very best, but it would be harmful to your heart. It could be devastating to your reputation. So let's be vigilant in this area that we don't assume too much. That never works out. But what that does do is create false realities that we live in. And Father, it is reality that we seek, that we really have eyes to see and ears to hear what's happening, especially in our own hearts. And so we recognize the way that we assume, the way that we make up things, fill in blanks, create false realities that are damaging. And we invite your Holy Spirit to help us slow down and really examine what we're doing. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. They are where you find out what's going on around here, but they are also where you get connected to what's going on around here. And so be sure to do that. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are many resources, whether it be written resources, fun things to wear, coffee and tea, so much there. The Daily Audio Bible Journal, things to write in the journal that are paired perfectly. Check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Humbly, thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, my name is Grateful in Georgia, and we have been a long-time listeners, my husband and I, but this is my first time calling, and we're so appreciative of the community. We're so thankful for this place that we can come and share and pray. We've prayed for so many of you over the years, and we feel like we're dear friends of all of you, and we're thankful so much to the Hardin family for keeping this going. I'm coming to you right now. Just we need prayer for our son. He's 23 years old. His name is JB. He's been in and out of a mental hospital now for over a year and a half, and they can't seem to stabilize him. He goes to the hospital, gets his drugs changed, and comes out and goes right back in two to three weeks later. And we just really need some prayer for him. We pray that the Lord would deliver him from delusions. He has a lot of delusions, and he's not in reality. He's living in his head. Deliver him from fear and torment. He just seems tormented all the time. We're asking the Lord to give him peace. And we're asking the Lord to give us direction to help find a place that can really help him, a place where his needs can be met. And we're really asking the Lord for these things, and we're asking you to come alongside us and pray for these things with us. And we're so grateful that we have the body of Christ to encourage us and support us and bear our burdens, and we can bear your burdens and rejoice with you. So thank you, and we just thank you that for your prayers and your concern. It's in the name of Jesus we're asking these things. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's Graziella Flower calling, and I listen to the prayer request, and sometimes it's just so overwhelming. So please join me in prayer. Father, I want to lift up to you the gal whose sister has cancer and has had a stroke. We pray for healing over her body, Lord God, that you would restore her to the health of her youth, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, over the prodigal children. Help them to return home, and home to you, Father, so where you are waiting with outstretched arms. Because once they receive you in their hearts and their minds and their souls and their bodies, God, everything else will fall into place. We pray for those who are suffering from addiction, God, and I just ask you, Father, that you become the object of their addiction, that you become something that they are so consumed with that nothing else matters in this world. Father, only your healing touch can bring about these changes. God, I pray for all those suffering with cancer, Lord God, that you would just sustain them, encourage them, heal them, Lord God, and bring them to the fullness of their health, either this side of heaven or in your arms. We pray for mercy upon all those who are ill, for all the caregivers, Lord God, who need your strength to carry on. And I ask this all in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen.
Hey, DAB fam, this is Ted from SoCal. Just want to thank everyone for the prayers for my buddy, my kidney buddy, and with dealing with the cancer. Calling in to let family know here that Darren passed away on Sunday. And is with the Lord, and just ask for your prayers to be directed to his wife and family of four kids as they navigate this time. Pray for us as well as we continue to come alongside them and support them. I love you, family, and thank you so much.
Hi, family. This is Sally in North Dakota, one who loves to worship. I'm calling today to pray for Rosie, a.k.a. It's Great to Be Free in Jesus. Rosie had called in and asked for prayer. She's been having pain in her arm and her shoulder and her back. So, Rosie, we just want to lift you up today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Rosie. I thank you for her gentle spirit, and she's such a sweet, sweet gal. Rosie, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for bringing healing to Rosie. We pray that you would take the pain away and whatever is causing it to relieve her of this and help her to be strengthened in her body, that she can exercise and do the things that she asks that she would want to continue doing. So, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. And we know that you love us and you care about us so much. So, Rosie, just know that we love you and know that you're going to be getting better. And also, I just want to shout out to Annette in Oklahoma City. Girl, I want you to know that I'm so glad you're here again. And we look forward to hearing a lot more of your calls. Want you to know I love you, and you're the best. Okay, family, you guys have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible Community. This is Alec calling in again from New Jersey. I just wanted to lift up Rosie in prayer for the diagnosis. Rosie, I'm with you, and I am praying for you. I hope that I agree with you, Lord. I pray that Rosie would receive a correct diagnosis, that Rosie's diagnosis would not be angina, and that she would be lifted up in wisdom and in strength so that she could be restored to full health, Lord. I pray that you would work miraculous healing in her body and just, you know, set her loose to testify to the great healing that you've done in her life, in Jesus' name. I also wanted to pray for Tanya and lift Tanya up as well, that you would be healed of all ailments, that the whole Daily Bible Community is praying for you. So I pray, Lord, that you would just spread your mercy over Tanya, that she would feel great and miraculous healing everywhere in her system, and that she would testify to the goodness of your grace and mercy in Jesus' name. And I want to lift up everybody on here and encourage them to keep praying and to thank everyone on here for their prayers. You guys are prayer warriors. So, Lord, I just pray that you would protect them and take them under your wing and just provide for all of their needs as they align their desires to your will, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you guys. Keep praying. God bless you.
This is Beloved Cross in North Idaho. On August 7th, a sister called in regarding the promptings she has had from the Holy Spirit regarding lifting Brian and Jill in prayer. I have had the same promptings also for the last week, and I just want to echo the same exact prayers that my sister prayed. We know that Brian and Jill have been very open and vulnerable in sharing a lot of their journey with us this last year. And we also know that when there's new change and progress being made, sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back, eight steps forward, two steps back, etc. Brian and Jill, we just want you to know that as you make your forward steps, we rejoice with you. And when those steps go backwards, we are here praying for you, lifting you up to the one and only who can bring total healing, health, restoration, renewal, trust, determination. He loves you. He loves what you do for the community. And Satan and his minions, his demons, hate you and your family. But the multitude are lifting you up, The angels in heaven rejoice around you, and you will get through this one step at a time. We love you. Don't give up.